What's up, Pels fans? Welcome back to the Bird Calls. This is SB Nation's podcast dedicated to thebirdrights.com, your one-and-done stop for all the best and latest analysis on your New Orleans Pelicans. Now, my name's Preston Ellis, and I have sadly been ruled out of the preseason due to a strained left ring finger. So, it's substitute teacher day. But before we go any further, don't forget to check previous episodes previewing the Southwest Division, the Western Conference over-unders, and a special behind-the-scenes tour to Pelicans Media Day. But for now, let's talk some Pels.
What up, Pels fans? It's your co-guest host, Johnny Harvey, here with the other co-guest host, Zachary Genda. And that was my Preston Ellis impression. How'd I do, Zach?
Not good, but it's all right. We have the keys to the podcast because Preston is off getting married. And we here at the Bird Rights are pro-marriage, so we're happy for our guy. John and I are not, we're not old enough to get married yet, at least not yet, but you know, that's okay. We're pro-marriage. We're also pro-basketball. We're not necessarily pro-betting, but we're going to do like we did with Preston and I a couple days ago. We're going to do NBA over-unders. We're going to do the Eastern Conference version. So basically this is like we're throwing the throwing a party at home while mom and dad's away. So don't tell anybody because we'll get super in trouble.
Bring your liquor in your empty water bottles and let's have a good time. Where should we start?
All right, so let's just do this by, let's just make this easy on ourselves. I'm looking at VegasInsider.com. We're going to start, we're going to go alphabetically because that's just easy for me, easy for you. We're going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. The Vegas Insider's got Atlanta at 27.5 wins. What are you feeling for that one?
Okay, so Atlanta's best player is Dennis Schroeder. That can't be good. And is Kent Bazemore, I guess, their second best player? I mean, I don't feel super confident about them at all. 27. I mean, the East has a lot of bad teams this year. I mean, I think that there's going to be some teams that are going to squeak in, you know, that to that eighth spot at under 500. With that being said, though, the Hawks might be the worst team in the conference. We can debate whether they're worse than the Bulls. I don't think Zach LaVine's going to play right away. I'm going under on that. I think that's, you know, it's a bad team. Is Dedmon their third best player? I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. It seems like they kind of gutted to tank. So this is kind of the last year with that draft lottery percentages the way they are. I'm going under. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going under. I think this Atlanta team is terrible. I'm looking at the roster now. I mean, they got a bunch of just, oh, yeah, that guys. They got Luke Babbitt, Bellinelli.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
John Collins is getting some Rookie of the Year love. For reasons,
seems fun. Quinn Cook. That's fun.
We got Quinn Cook on the roster. I wonder if he actually makes the team or not. He might just be a camp body. They got one of the Plumlee brothers, Gerson Ilyasova, Torian Prince, who actually I kind of like, but I don't know. What happens with this Atlanta team? Because it was just 2-3 years ago they won 60 games, and
yeah.
And here we are. Life comes at you fast. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They had that magical season that seemed like they won 70 games, and I think they only won 50 or something like that when Korver was hitting everything that he took. But, man, yeah. Oof. Teague's now with Minnesota. Horford with the Celtics. Millsaps with the Nuggets. And Korver's obviously with the Cavs. Kind of depressing. You know, you thought that team would be around for a while, but all right, we're going to both go the under on that one. Who's next?
Next, let's go Boston. I got 53.5 wins for the Celtics.
Ooh. Well, why don't you go first?
Tantalizing. I don't know. I think Boston coming off maybe the least impressive number one seed last year in quite some time, they got a lot better. but they had to give up some pieces too. They had to give up some of that depth that made them really good. But Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, that's tantalizing, especially with all the pieces. Bynes, Horford, they got the other Morris brother. They have Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, Rozier, who I thought was getting traded to the Pelicans, you know, because that's a thing. But also, can I finally get some pats on the back? Because I bought a lot of Jaylen Brown stock last year, and everyone kind of laughed at me. And here we are.
Everyone loves Jaylen Brown nowadays.
Yeah, but I loved him. I loved him first.
You were high on him. I am still – he's fine. You really wanted him to be a Pelican. I remember that. But I don't he doesn't, you know, he doesn't knock my socks off. Are you kind of concerned that, you know, kind of that chemistry for, you know, apologize for the cliche of, you know, losing Avery Bradley and Crowder is going to ruin the chemistry? I never really understand why we say chemistry, but go ahead.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I think there's got to be some kinks to get worked out, but just on talent alone, I think this is the most talented team in the East. Do I think that's going to get them through Cleveland come spring, early summer? That's a whole different
conversation.
But if we're talking about wins, who's going to get the most wins in the East? I think it's got to be this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to a lot of other bad teams. Boston is one of three, four debatably really strong teams in the East, which means they're playing the bad teams four times a year. I mean, you know, either Kyrie or Gordon has a bad night, they'll still probably be able to get by the Hawks on a, you know, back-to-back. So I'm going to go the over. They have, you know, still a lot of depth on that team. I'm interested to see how Marcus Smart played this year. He's going to take a lot of take the toughest defensive assignments. I think they're going to have trouble defending the rim, but kind of exciting to see Morris brother. Hopefully we get the Morris on Morris playoff battle that we wanted. And I'll take the over. What do you got?
Yeah, I'll take the over too. And I think coaching also matters. And Brad Stevens is about as good as it gets. So I think he can coach up Boston to a couple extra wins. They may not crush the over, but
yeah, I
54,
see 55.
55. That's achievable. Let's move on. Let's go to Brooklyn. And I got a bit of a hot take. So Brooklyn's at 26.5 wins. And I think Brooklyn could be a really good, bad team.
Yeah.
Like,
but they don't
have
a pick. Right? They still don't have a pick. So, you know, there's no incentive for them to tank.
Yeah, there's no reason to tank anymore. Or they have no reason, I should say. But, I mean, looking at this roster, I mean, there's Damari Carroll, Alan Crabb, D'Angelo Russell, Jeremy Lin. I mean, I can talk myself into Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who I've always liked for reasons I can't explain. I've always liked him. I don't know.
Can we have a D'Angelo Russell conversation?
Yes.
Are you pro, against, uncertain? I don't really know where I stand.
I don't know. I think this will be good for him. I think between his rookie year was Kobe's last year and the thing with Nick Young and Byron Scott keeping him on the bench and kept him in timeouts.
Yeah,
I think this would be really good for Russell to get out, go east. And there's a lot of bad teams in the East. And yeah, Brooklyn's one of them. But I think of the bad group, they could be the best one. I think they could get some easy wins off of, you know, the Chicagos and the Atlantas and the Orlandos of the conference.
Well, between Russell and Lynn, you would assume one or the other is going to be an offensive explosion, you know, every other night. That's a lot of star power out of point guard position offensively. I think they're going to probably sneak up on some teams, and it seems like they're deeper than they have ever been. And I'm taking the – I think 20 – was it 27 or is it 26?
26 and a half, yeah.
That's low. I mean, the East is pretty bad, and those two players alone with some wing talent here and there, LeVert, I like. I think he's still on the team. I think they're going to go over. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I think they're going to blow us away, but I wouldn't be shocked if they got 32 wins.
Yeah, and,
you know.
Let's tie this to the Pelicans. Like, could you see the Nets be, we know how the Pelicans have those infuriating losses every now and then. Could you see the Nets punking New Orleans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just one of those teams where, you know, I got to see a Nets game last year at the Barclays Center, and they played the Sixers, the best bad game I've ever seen. Actually came down to the wire, but that stadium's nice. It kind of, I could see why it'd be tantalizing to play there. And the crowd is extremely intimate, and it really feeds into the team. I could see, you know, a little bit of, you know, Pelicans travel there. And, you know, I could kind of see, you know, the reasons why Brooklyn would kind of sneak up on a team like that. I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree on this one. So let's keep going. Next up, we've got Charlotte. Charlotte's at 42 and a half wins. And maybe you can go first, but I'm just going to say this. I can't get a feel for this Hornets team.
Yeah, that's okay. So,
especially with Batum out now. Batum's out for, what, 12 weeks now? Is that what it was?
12 weeks. Yeah, that's about 30 games or something like that. 20, 30 games. Yeah, that's tough. But they're fairly deep. They got, obviously, they got Monk, and they got Kid Gilchrist. They, you know, Marvin Williams is hanging out, and they got Dwight.
Such a weird roster.
It's a very strange roster, but it kind of fits, like, the old, you know, the standard, you know, stereotypical NBA mold of a roster with your big center and, you know, versatile four and, you know, some wing talent. You know, this kind of seems like it's the year that Kemba kind of, you know, takes it up a level, and we see really how good of a player Kemba is. The East, the Hornets, you know, are either going to, you know, they're either going to be that, you know, the Pistons, what everyone thought the Pistons were going to be a couple years ago, and then they turned out to be, you know, barely making the playoffs, and or they're going to really surprise some people and be maybe the fourth, maybe even the three seed in the East. You got Dwight Howard on his redemption tour. He was on TNT, you know, venting it out with, you know, Charles. And
it's his redemption tour, because you saw the thing about how Atlanta celebrated when he left, right? I mean, that's not good.
Yeah. The things that are written about Dwight are very interesting. I mean, ever since the most awkward press conference I can remember in Orlando, when Stan was talking to the press and Dwight came
and
gave him a hug. It's just been very strange. I don't know.
He might as well have put on a cloak and been the Grim Reaper. I mean,
I guess, I don't know, you know, Lee wrote a touching, you know, comeback story for Dwight. I don't know. I think 42, though, in the East might be a little too low. I kind of see this team around 45. Just because the East is pretty weak, and I kind of like that Kemba's got a legit center. You know, Dwight does some annoying things, but, you know, high pick and rolls with Kemba, with Malik Monk shooting, I don't know. I can kind of talk myself into it. What do you think?
I'm going to go the under. I can't get a feel for this team. I'm looking at it, and it's just, I don't like the Batum injury. That might cost him some wins early on. But, like, you got Kemba and Michael Carter-Williams. You have Dwight and Frank Kaminsky and one of the Zeller brothers. This roster doesn't make sense to me.
Kaminsky's got a lot of this is going to ride on it, whether or not he can, you know, develop into a confident defender and, you know, consistent scorer.
I'm wondering,
though. It's a big year for the Hornets.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Rick, I wonder if could Malik Monk, is he going to be like a legit like running mate with Kemba Walker, be like the Bradley Beal, John Wall, like the
Definitely
Diet
not
Coke
right
version
away.
Of that?
I couldn't see that happening right away. But, you know, he's going to be a body that's going to stretch the floor at first. And I don't even know if he wants to be there. I think he's been talking about how much he is upset that the Knicks didn't draft him. I don't even think he really wants to be there. So maybe, who knows how his attitude will be. I don't know. The more I'm talking about it with you, the more I want to take the under. But, you know, I think they're going to be a little over 42. I think that their ceiling to me is 45, but I can kind of see them in that 40-44 win range.
Yeah.
Still taking the under?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I don't like this Charlotte team. Let's move
okay,
on.
I think it's the first one that we've disagreed on.
Yeah, and that's good. We thrive off of embrace debating here. Let's move on. I think we're not going to disagree with this one. The Chicago Bulls with 22.5 wins, and honestly, that number seems insanely high for probably the worst team in basketball right now.
I genuinely couldn't tell you their starting five.
Yeah, I
genuinely could not do it.
I don't know if this quote is real or not, but I got sent this a couple of days ago, and this is from Robin Lopez, or this might be from Robin Lopez, and it says, quote, "Oh God, am I the best player here? Oh God."
Did you really say that? Tell me that's true.
I don't know if that is true, but I will give my first
meme.
I'll give my firstborn for that to be true, because that's maybe the greatest line ever uttered in civilization. But yeah, I'm looking at this roster now.
Oh, Robin.
They got that guy from Villanova from a couple years ago, Chris Dunn, Jerian Grant, Markkanen, who's baby Dirk, but he's not.
I don't like that. We keep doing that. We said that with Porzingis. They're completely different people. I don't like that.
Just every 7-foot European white guy is Dirk. We got to get more visual with our stuff.
Keep going.
Let's see, Zach Levine. Yeah, Bobby Portis still there.
Yeah,
Bobby Portis still there. Cameron Payne, handshake extraordinaire. Okay. Miritich, Diamond Stone.
Miritich has got to be traded this year. There's no way he's there at the end of the season.
Yeah, actually, I can't tell if that's Miritich or Andrew Luck because they look the same.
They really do. The beard is incredible.
They do. Denzel Valentine, Paul Zipser, our guy Quincy Pondexter. But
So that's a bad team. But
yeah, and Justin Holiday. That. And Justin Holiday, I forgot.
And Justin. Okay, so they have, you know, every single player on that team is a role player, you know, a bench player that's going to be starting. Who's their go-to scorer? Is it Chris Dunn?
Can't score, though.
All right, so who's going to take a shot on that team?
So hot take. I don't think Zach Levine's a good basketball player. I'm just going to say it now. I think if you're Chicago and you're trading for a guy who relies solely on athleticism, that's coming off a torn ACL, that's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, I bet the fans were thrilled with that trade. I'd be curious to see what happens when he comes back and they give him the keys. But, I mean, we were just talking about the Nets. The Nets actually have competent scorers that can handle the ball without LaVine, who can score. I don't know if he's ever tried on defense. You know, they don't have anybody to score the ball. I don't know how they're going to – I don't know how what's the over-under right now? It's 27?
22.5.
22.5, okay. I don't know. Can you see them legitimately outscoring teams 23 times?
No. No, I think this team is
I genuinely
awful.
Can't either. All right, so we're both going under?
Yeah, and I want to say two things right quick. So the marketing thing, you traded Jimmy Butler, one of the best, 8 to 12, 15 best players for LaVine coming up that torn knee, Chris Dunn who can't score, and Markkanen who might be Channing Frye. I mean,
yeah,
Chicago, they feel like, you know, step one, blow up the roster. Step two, question mark. Step three, profit. This feels like what the Bulls are doing. Like, I don't know what – and this is coming from a guy – we have dysfunction in our franchise. But, like, the Bulls, wow. Wow.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any plan.
No. And
to see that here and see what happens.
And I don't – maybe Preston can edit this out, but – so they have on their roster Antonio Blakeney, and Blakeney is from LSU. And Blakeney is kind of a terrible person, and I hope he doesn't make the roster. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
Hey, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, Jenda.
Because
you have feelings just like me. But can I, for a hot sec, I'd like to I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know who the best what's the best football team, college football team in Louisiana right now? Because I think the Green Wave, my alma mater, might be the best team in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, maybe going off record, but no, it probably is Tulane. It probably is.
Shout out to them.
It probably is the Green Wave. And actually, I'm doing this podcast in a much better mood because I thought LSU would get just suffocated by Florida, but Florida came out like a bunch of chumps. LSU got a big time win, and the program is back on track. Maybe, probably not. Go Tigers!
Have to Louisiana football this weekend. Yeah. Hopefully that. Have the Saints played yet?
The Saints are off this week, so the Saints can't. Yeah, they can't ruin
a great
my
weekend for Louisiana football.
Yeah. Yeah, also, and one last thing on Antonio Blakeney, then we'll move on. The reason I dislike him, I worked at a Canes in college, and he came by a lot, and one time he threw a drink at us because he said we made it wrong, but he didn't, and I hate him.
Oh, my God. So, he threw a drink at you because he said that you made his drink?
Well, it wasn't me. It was one of my coworkers.
Right.
But yeah.
So how do you make it? I mean, how many options are there? There's sweet tea.
Yeah.
There's unsweetened tea. There's lemonade.
I don't know. And also, I don't know why Antonio Blakeney
why
would ever
that response.
He would always come through drive-through and he would never want the food in the bag. Who are you, Antonio Blakeney? Just take the bag.
What
anyway.
Did he want it? Just in the did he want it just canes in the hand? Like you just want the chicken.
You know, just give me the box. You don't want the bag? No, just give me the box. All right, man, fine, whatever. But
how
now I'm all
grown. Did he come to the drive-thru?
All the time.
I'm really curious. Like daily or like several times a week or like
– It was at least once a week. And no wonder LSU was a bunch of bums last year and got Johnny Jones fired.
Yeah. That was a great little vent session. I'm glad you got that out.
Yes. Okay, so let's move on. So, from the worst team in the East to maybe the best, we've got Cleveland at 54.5 wins. And
ooh, 54. Okay.
My question about Cleveland is this it? Is this like Cleveland's last stand, or are we doing this? Are we rolling this out again next year, or what happens with the Cavs?
So it's tough to say. they definitely set themselves up for, you know, they're definitely very well set up for a rebuild if they choose to do that. My concern with them this year is Isaiah Thomas, which is, you know, duh. He's going to be out for who knows long. And I love that they got Wade. I mean, ESPN's probably having a field day from it. Their coverage with Wade and LeBron was just out of control back when they were in Miami. I mean, are they even going to start Derrick Rose? Should they start Derrick Rose? I know they're having Kevin Love at center now, which seems like is a very smart move. You know, he might have trouble against, like, a Drummond every once in a while, but, you know, most of the centers, the big men in the league aren't, you know, aren't true centers. So I'm excited to see how that works out. But, you know, why even start Derrick Rose? You know, you could just have J.R. Smith and Wade start at the guard positions, LeBron, Crowder, and Kevin Love. And that's a pretty solid starting line. You don't have, a true point guard, you know, quote unquote, whatever that means nowadays. But, you know, that's a pretty confident starting five, and you'd have Derrick Rose to kind of run his own show on the bench. Here's a question for you. Is Derrick Rose a good basketball player anymore? I'm hearing that people are really low on Derrick Rose, but I thought he scored 17 points a game for the Knicks last year. It was fine. I don't know when all this Derrick Rose hate kind of came about.
Yeah, I think with Rose, he might actually have a renaissance type year. And I don't know if you saw, but he said recently, the past couple of years, he was playing like revenge basketball or something like that. And it sounds, and he's let go of that. And he sounds very like, he sounds like LeBron, once LeBron stopped trying to be a villain that first year in Miami. And Kevin Durant kind of did the same thing. When he stopped after the heel turn by going to Golden State, you know, that's when he started to thrive. So maybe this is that for Derrick Rose. Maybe he stops playing with get back at everybody in his blood, and he just plays basketball just for the sake of playing basketball again. I'm looking at
what's
this.
What's your take on his hair?
I don't like it. I also don't like Dwayne Wade with hair. I don't like that Shumpert got rid of his high top.
The off season of hair changes.
I don't like. I wish LeBron would just go bald. But yeah, I'm looking at the roster. Did you know Jose Calderon and Kendrick Perkins are both on Cleveland's roster right now? I didn't know this.
I did know that Jose was there, and I only knew that Perk was there because I've seen hilarious photos of him just scowling in the background as LeBron or Wade gets interviewed.
Because
that Perk face on him.
I almost made a Bill Simmons whoa when they drafted Anthony Bennett when I saw Perkins' name, because I thought he was already on Cleveland and he left. I don't know. This is breaking news for me right now.
Go ahead.
So in fairness to Cleveland, and Simmons has this opinion too. Yeah, they lost in five games, but it was a pretty competitive five games. You know, if LeBron...
A couple of those games where they really blew it out of the open, but it was competitive during, 75% of each game.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, while Golden State's the best, I don't know. I don't think the gap was that wide between them and Cleveland. If things go a little bit differently, who knows?
Well, are they a better team? Is this Cleveland roster as a whole, say, by the spring, if Isaiah Thomas is healthy, ready to go, maybe not his 29 or 30 point per game average he was at, but, he's 24 points a game and is a legitimate factor. Is this a better Cleveland team than the year before? I would argue it is.
Might be deeper. It's got Crowder and Jeff Green. It might have more.
Oh, don't give me Jeff
okay,
Green.
Sorry.
he's not playing much.
They might have more help on the wings, which I think really kind of torched them against Golden State.
I mean, just getting two smart players in Crowder and Wade, I mean, that's a huge boost. You know, you just have very, you know, I'm not calling Crowder an elite defender, you know, but it's people that, you know, understand what it takes to win on both ends. You know, I'm curious if Wade's going to be, there's going to be a big drop off for him athletically. If he's going to be able to spread the floor by shooting, that's never really been an issue for him. I love that Tristan Thompson is going to come off the bench. I think that that's really going to just make it seem like they have more depth than they actually do. Cause he's going to bully, second string, big men, yeah. You know, and having Fry next to him, you know, their B team is better than the Hawks. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to, I don't know if I'm comfortable going over 54 wins though. I guess the only person that really is not healthy right now is Isaiah Thomas, but I think that that is a huge loss for them to start the year. I kind of see them, you know, more towards the 51, 52. You know, they're going to rest Dwayne Wade a fair amount, I would imagine. You know, odds are Derrick Rose doesn't play, you know, 75% of the season. I'm going to take the slight under. I'm not, I wouldn't feel comfortable going over. What do you think?
Yeah, I would take an under too. I just feel like they, not that they're not going to care, but you know, with LeBron, you don't have to have home court to get out of the East. And while Boston might be more talented, it's still his league. It's still his conference at least. And until somebody knocks them off, I don't think it matters what seed they are.
Yeah, I mean, either. All right. So Cleveland, you got one more thought, or you want to move on?
No, let's move on. And this actually might go by pretty quick. Let's go to Detroit. It's 38.5 wins. And I wrote a note for Detroit. And my note says, quote, why can't I think of anything to ask about Detroit? Because this is just kind of a boring team.
Yeah, well, they got Avery Bradley. That's fun, I
cool.
think.
Cool. Congratulations.
Good job, guys. You got Avery. Yeah, I don't. I it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, they have Drummond at the contract that they do, and Reggie Jackson. That's an exciting player. You know. But 38.5 is, I think, a fair. That's like a fair odds right there. I don't see this team making the playoffs. I even think an Indiana is a little bit more talented than them as a whole. But we'll get into them. I'm gonna go the under. I think they're gonna be a 36-ish win team. I really can't imagine them being near 500. Would it shock me if they were at 39? No. I'll go the under on that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on the under. I have like literally nothing to say, but I mean, I hope Langston Galloway does well in Detroit.
Yeah,
but this is just like, and like the Detroit fans can at me, they can email me or whatever, but like, who cares? Like, I just don't care about this team at all. I think they're really boring.
All right, move on.
Yeah, so let's move on.
Sorry, Detroit.
Sorry, Detroit. Right. Sorry about it. All right. So you just mentioned them. So Indiana, they're up next. Indiana's got 30.5 wins. That's their number. And
30?
I think that's low. Yeah, 30.5 wins. I think that's easy money.
Name the roster for me.
Okay. So they have Darren Collison, Al Jefferson. They have one of the Bogdanoviches, TJ Leaf, Oladipo, Alex Poitras. I don't know. Reigning slam dunk champion, Glenn Robinson III, Miles Turner, who I like a lot, Sabonis, Thad Young, and future league MVP, Lance Stephenson.
Yeah, Lance just really added a lot of swag to that team. That's like seven deep. That's a seven deep team,
yeah.
Eight deep team. I don't, they're competent. they're probably more competent than most of these lackluster East teams. 30's way too low, I think. I mean, they're at least going to get to 32. I don't see. I mean, you know, Darren Collison doesn't wow anybody, but competent. They're going to play through Miles Turner a lot, you would imagine. Lance Stevenson's going to have the ball a lot and he's going to be doing Lance things. I'm definitely going over on that.
Yeah, I'm going to go over as well. And I also think I still think they're going to be that bad. And also Indiana's kind of a proud bad team. You know, like, yeah, we're bad, but we're going to keep trying every night. And I really like
to win. They don't want to tank.
Yeah, I really like Miles Turner too.
Yeah, I don't know how high his ceiling is, but I like him as a player. I think that he's going to develop into, you know, a fun one, especially because he's got a little bit of range to his shot. Great wingspan. He's a good body to build around. I'd like to see him without, you know, with an offense that is, you know, actually going to really feature him more so than they did in the past. All right, Indiana.
Do you think they got enough for Paul George? I know this has been talked about, but that was kind of an underwhelming Paul George trade.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get a lot. What did they get? They got Sabonis and Oladipo on a bad contract.
And
they get a second round pick in that too. I mean,
whatever they picked TJ Leaf, that was the pick. But yeah, I mean, or maybe that was their own pick. I don't know.
Drew's on TJ Leaf. Yeah, I mean, that's a bad, you know, I mean, the lesson of, you know, economics there, right? You know, there's supply and demand, and when one player didn't want to be there, and, you know, the actual demand for that player was different. You know, it kind of made me curious why Boston didn't send a trade package similar to that to them, but we saw that they ended up signing Gordon Hayward. As a Wizards fan, it made me kind of scratch my head a little bit because you think that the Wizards would be all in on, you know, attempting to get a superstar wing player to, you know, build a big three. I think most Wizards fans would say that they'd trade Otto Porter for Paul George and a, you know, unprotected future pick in a heartbeat. Now, I love Otto, but you have an opportunity to get a superstar, you know, top five player in the league. It was a little curious. Kind of seemed like there was a little bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge there by Presti. So I'm curious. You know, hopefully Oladipo is, you know, he's a player they clearly wanted. He's from Indiana. He plays hard. Not a bad player by any means. It's just unfortunate contract. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I was curious to see what other trade packages were out there. I'm sure Miami would have thrown a lot more at them. I don't know, but, you know, he's gone and they're rebuilding, and we got Indiana over 30.5. So,
and you mentioned him, so let's segue into him. So Miami, they got 42.5 wins. And Miami, we all remember, they started 11-30 and finished 30-11. And I think this is a pretty good Miami team. I think if your Wizards or the Raptors, if they're not careful, I think Miami can leapfrog them and get a top 4 seed in the East. And I'm looking at the roster now. You got Goran Dragic, Ellington, Bam Adebayo from Kentucky, who I like. Udonis Haslem is still inexplicably playing basketball, which I think is amazing. Kelly Olynyk.
It's the Juwan Howard now, right?
Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson, future league MVP Dion Waiters, Whiteside, Josh Richardson. This is a Justice Winslow and Eric Spoelstra as coach, and Spoelstra is proving he's a good coach. I don't know. I think this is a good Miami team.
Yeah, my first thought goes to Winslow, who, to my understanding, when he got injured last season, didn't really turn it around. I got a good Winslow story, or a Winslow story. I'll let you be the judge if it's good. I visited his high school, St. John's in Houston. I believe it's St. John's. And I saw a playoff game that he played in. A roommate from college, shout out to Clayton. That's where he went to school. They were in the playoffs, and we had a good weekend to go. We drove to Houston, and, you know, I heard about this kid, Justice Winslow, who's heading – I think he had committed to Duke at this time. And, you know, I mean, he's a top prospect, but, you know, kind of under the radar. You know, you hear a lot of stories about players in high school, and, you know, they could do everything. Justice Winslow was actually asked to do everything. He was asked to basically be the point guard. He was asked to defend the biggest person and tallest person on the team. He would be tasked to defend the quickest and best scorer on the team. The point guard he played with was maybe 5'6 or 5'7, scraggly white dude who I don't know his name. He was good. Good for him. But, I mean, Justice was a man amongst his boys. And when I saw him and how he was able to create for his other teammates, I thought he was special. I didn't really realize he was going to be such a high draft pick and so coveted. But there's one thing I kind of took away from watching that game was that Justice Winslow can do it all, and he can adapt to any kind of playing style. And he was never... You know, he was put in so many interesting, strange positions on the court for his size and skill. I could still see him coming back from injury, maybe having worked on his outside shooting a fair amount, and kind of just fitting in like a chameleon on that team. I could really see him just kind of blending himself back in there seamlessly. I think he's really smart, and you know, I'm curious to see if Goran Dragic, you know, on another note, you know, can elevate his game a little bit more. I know he took the keys the latter half of the season and, you know, really exploded. But, you know, it'd be great to see, you know, somebody like a Justice wing player to actually be able to hit corner shots with somebody like Dragic in the corner and such. What do you think about this team?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Goran Dragic still wants to be there. I think the second half turnaround really helped because I know he wanted out.
I like Wade left. They kind of gave him the keys. I don't know why he would really want to leave.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to like Winslow, but I also got to see that offensive game develop.
Sure.
But he could also, like you said, be that chameleon guy, be that guy that just kind of fits in. He doesn't have to be the number one option. That's what they have Weeders and Whiteside and Dragic for. I want to like Winslow, and I know a lot of people do. There's talent, there's upside, those little buzzwords that everybody loves using. I just got to see it, and I want to see it.
Well, they definitely have enough scoring between Dion and Dragic and Whiteside where, you know, he's not going to be asked to put up more than 12 a game. You know, if he's, you know, able to hit, you know, mid to upper 30s on corner threes, you know, and, you know, is a good cutter and can just make smart plays, I doubt he's really gonna be a hindrance to the team. But what's their line at? It's at is it at 41?
At 42.5.
42.5. That's a sneaky team. I mean, they really could be the fourth best team in the league if they stay healthy and kind of continue the track that they're on. I'm gonna go over. I see them around 45. What do you think?
Yeah, I would go to soft over. Maybe not 45, but maybe just 43. They just barely eke it out. But yeah, I can talk myself into Miami being pretty good this year. Let's keep going. Next, we've got Milwaukee, and they're at 46.5 wins. And my question for Milwaukee is, can this team make the leap?
Yeah. So is Jabari injured? Jabari's injured for a little bit. Can Giannis get better?
I don't know, but I love Giannis though.
Remember how a few years ago everyone, you know, made Anthony Davis the kind of, oh, he, you know, based on his trajectory, he's going to be, you know, 30 plus points per game, you know, gobbling everything. You know, Davis has fine-tuned his game, don't get me wrong, but he didn't, you know, people kind of expected him to just have this monster climb. I'm curious, you know, a lot of the special things that Giannis does is through athleticism. And right now he's obviously in the peak of his athletic career. You know, he's adding, you know, an outside shot really even important or relevant to his game? And even if he does that, does it kind of take away from the special things he does on the floor athletically? I'm not so, you know, I kind of feel like we're a little jumping the gun on anointing Giannis as somebody who's, you know, going to be, you know, superstar level consistently every night to his point where he can get his team to 50 wins. I'm not so sure that we've seen that yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would put it like this. If I were the Pelicans GM and Milwaukee called me and said, I want to trade you Giannis for Anthony Davis straight up, I would have to really think about it. I don't think I would, but I'd have a hard time telling them no, too. Sure. I'm looking at the red, because I also remember when the Pelicans got their first win last season, it was against Milwaukee, and Giannis and Jabari kept Milwaukee in that game just by themselves.
Right.
And so I'm looking at the rest of the roster. There's Giannis, there's Jabari. It's a good one, too. There's Dellavedova, Gerald Green, Greg Monroe, Chris Middleton's back, Thon Maker.
Right, that's big. I think it's McCare. I think
McCare. Tony Snell, James Young, and Jason Terry's still, like Udonis Haslam, is inexplicably playing professional basketball.
Yeah. And Malcolm Brogdon, right?
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon. It's good money if you can get it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a solid team. I'm not really sure they're 46.5. That's, you know, for them to be a 47-48 win team, that's, I don't know, that's pretty, a lot of wins for that team. I don't think they really got much better this offseason. Greg Monroe, is he good anymore? I don't think he's their starting center anymore, or at least. And I guess it really depends on if Thon Maker, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, if he really takes a leap this year and can play really meaningful minutes, you know, 20 minutes a game, whatever, be a legitimate difference maker. But until, I don't know, until we've kind of seen this, you know, the young people take a jump, I'm going to go the under. I feel like this is a team that's tricking a lot of people into assuming that they're going to be great before they're actually great. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the postseason kind of helps them too. They got a taste of it. They had that tough Raptor series. And speaking of, like, you know, young people taking the leap, do you think that we've taken the leap yet? Have you think we've peaked yet, or do we need a couple more years of seasoning?
By we, you mean?
I mean you and me, like us specifically.
Oh. We definitely have not peaked yet.
Yeah, I think I'm still flatline
for you, but I think we still have some upside.
If anything, I'm on the I'm on the decline. If anything,
okay. Well, I was the top draft pick, so
that must be nice.
Pressure's on me. You were a second round pick, so you can kind of go.
I'm scrappy. I'm gritty. Which is code for
you are great chemistry code for white. Guy.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
Locker room code. Presence. Coachable.
The coach's son.
Coach's son.
So I think we agree on Milwaukee. We might have disagreement here. We got New York at 30.5 wins.
Nick.
Yeah, the Knicks.
New York. Okay.
I don't think the Knicks have cancer.
And Hardaway. And
Hardaway Frankie, for
people are calling him Frankie Nicotine or something like that.
Frankie Nicotine. They got McDermott,
like
Hernan Gomez.
Different team. This is a very different team than it was last year.
Yeah. Oh wow, Ramon Sessions is on this roster. I didn't know that.
Shout out to Ramon.
Joakim Noah is still getting those checks. Jerry Jack's on the roster.
Contract. Yeah, Jerry Jack. Good for him. Bounced back after his injury with the Pels.
Courtney Lee, Doug McDermott, Michael Beasley. I don't know. I don't think this Knicks team, I mean, they don't seem as dysfunctional. And it might just be because the Carmelo and the Phil Jackson stink is gone. But, yeah, they're not good. But, this is what's complicated with the Knicks. I think the league is better, actually, when the Knicks are bad and comically mismanaged. And I don't see that. I just think they're just going to be bad, and that's no fun. I want an entertaining bad Knicks team, not a boring bad Knicks team.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, is Frank going to be able to play, you know, actually, you know, meaningful minutes? And if not, you're looking at Jared Jack and Ramon Sessions, you know, attempting to probably, you know, make a mark enough in the league so the Knicks will trade them halfway through the season to a contender that wants a good backup point guard. So they're probably going to play pretty hard, I would imagine. They're still in the league at their age with an opportunity to actually play. You know, is Porzingis going to be an 18-9 guy this season or a 25-11 or 12, you know, guy this season? I mean, that's kind of, you know, whether or not they're going to be, you know, a legitimate 36-win team or a 28-win team, right?
Yeah, and I think the thing with Porzingis going forward now, hey, we're all looking at you now, bro. You know, Carmelo's gone, Phil's gone. It's
yeah,
on you. Because when the Knicks stink like they always do, they're going to be looking at him. They can't blame Carmelo anymore. They can't blame Phil. They're going to be coming for him. And I just wonder if he's up for that, because he's had a pretty good human shield the past two or
three.
He's been in the lead.
Had two great scapegoats. Well, this is what's going to happen. They're not going to tank because of the Knicks, and nothing they do is sensible. And Enes Kanter is going to play really hard for them, either coming off the bench or starting next to Porzingis. And, you know, Tim Hardaway is going to shoot 20 times a game, and somehow they're going to casually just win a few more games than they are supposed to and get up to 34 or 35 wins and be, you know, nowhere near the playoffs, but nowhere near one of the worst teams in the league, and everyone's going to be frustrated, and they're going to get a half-decent pick, and it's going to be this whole cycle all over again. So I'm going to take the over, because they're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
I don't know. I don't think the Knicks – I know I trashed them, but I think they're kind of like Brooklyn. I think they might be a good, bad team.
I think they might, you know, Hornacek is their coach, right?
I think so.
I don't know if he's good or not, but that sounds fine.
It sounds fine, I guess. From one dysfunctional team to just a boring mess, we got the Magic, and Orlando's at 30.5 wins, and I just think, I mean, what the hell is Orlando's plan? Like, it's every year. What are they doing?
Well, they're just really trying to see if Aaron Gordon and Vukovic, you know, can gel. So, year number four, just seeing that pair, seeing how they develop. I don't know. I mean, it would really be sad to be a legitimate Orlando Magic fan. I know Preston, I think, is living there. I don't know what it would be like if you're a legitimate fan of them. But, I mean, Elfrid Payton, fine. Fournier is a good player. Jonathan Isaacs is the most Magic pick I've ever heard. You know, somebody that's going to be wasted by a glut of people at that position, and he's not going to develop. I don't know what they're doing. What was the line, 30.5?
30.5, yeah.
What were they? What was their record last year? Was it 32 or 30?
Let me pull it up, because I actually don't know. Give me 1 second. But yeah, I'm thinking about the roster, and they just have like the same guys. You know, they have Vucevic and Bismack Biyombo and Mo Spates, which I didn't even know happened.
Maurice Spates.
I actually hear it. Okay, so Orlando had 29 wins last year, and you got, I mean, like I said, with the having this just redundant players, you got Aaron Aflalo and DJ Augustine and Shelvin Mack. Is Aaron Gordon even a good bat? I know he can dunk, but is Aaron Gordon a good basketball player? Have we figured that out yet?
I don't know. I don't know if he. I don't know if he's a starting forward in this league. I genuinely don't know. But I guess it's the year that we're going to have to figure that out or not. I mean, you would think that they are, you know, compiling these random assets for a trade package, right? To get somebody like a Mike Conley or, you know, a legitimate point guard maybe. With that being said, in the last several years, it doesn't seem like they're really interested in doing that. You know, they attempted to have Ibaka there last year, which made no sense when they signed him, and then they traded him for Terrence Ross. Is he on the team?
Yeah. Yeah, still there.
So I don't know what they're doing. 30, though, I mean, that's tough. I'm going to go... You know, I think, you know, Brooklyn's going to go over, and I'm going to go under with the Magic. I think they're going to get around 28 again. I don't see the talent on this team. They don't really have many playmakers, and defensively it doesn't make any sense, and I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under, too. I just think this is a bad, really bad Magic team, and just... It's not run right. This just it's directionless. That whole franchise is a mess.
Who knows? And maybe Isaac turns out to be incredible, and you know they can build around him, and that's great. But I don't. The amount of bodies that are in front of him on the depth chart, I don't even see him playing meaningful minutes right away. They seem like they kind of hit a Zonia. A similar problem. I don't even know. I don't think I've ever seen Azonia actually play. I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under two. And from one hopeless franchise to one with irrationally unbridled optimism, we have the Philadelphia 76ers, who are inexplicably at 40.5 wins for their projection.
That's so high. I don't understand.
That's insane.
They are sneaky deep, though. Let's acknowledge that. Read me their roster.
So the Philadelphia Trust the Processors, there's the SC Jared Bayless, SC Robert Covington, who I like, Embiid, Fultz, Chris Humphries, Amir Johnson, James Michael McAdoo, PJ McConnell, Emeka Okafor. Wow, Emeka Okafor is still in the league.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. They signed them there.
They have Jahlil Okafor, J.J. Redick, Saric, Simmons, and Nick Stauskas.
A sneaky deep team. I love that J.J. Redick signing. I think everybody and their mother loved that signing.
You want me to go ask my mom right quick?
Yeah, ask her if she liked that. I'll get back to I don't see them getting above 40 wins. Well, I'll just put it out there. But I think the East, that third tier of the East is so bad and unpredictable that I can still see them, and I have them picked as the eighth seed in the East. But I think that they could get in there at 37 wins. I don't think they need to get over 40 to be an eighth seed in the East this year. So I'm excited to see Ben Simmons. I think they're going to make a lot of mistakes. But, you know, if Embiid just plays 60 games, I think that they win enough games to go to the playoffs. He's just so dominant. And watching any highlights of him just makes me smile. And have a little four spacing with Covington and J.J. Redick is awesome. So, you know, I'm going to go the under, but I kind of like the buildup of this team for a kind of a, oh, let's test our waters in the playoffs this year kind of a situation. What do you think?
Yeah, I think playoffs and over-under, they're mutually exclusive things. I think they'll make playoffs, but not hit the over. And that's okay, as long as there's progress being made.
Sure.
I think I'm going to swear by Ben Simmons. Simmons, you know, he went to LSU. I was a senior. Simmons is 1 year at LSU. And the whole thing was a mess. But
yeah,
Simmons led the team in, like, scoring, rebounds, and assists. He might not have that shot just yet, that jump shot. But he is so good with the ball in his hands. He's going to set people up. If he's going to be the point forward, the queen on the chessboard, as Bill Simmons like to say, he's got a really good handle, and he sees the game different. He can make these passes most people can't, especially 6'10", 6'11", guys. They can't make the types of passes he can. So if you haven't bought Ben Simmons stock, I would get on it, because I think Simmons is the real deal, even if he's offensively challenged as of now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he actually, you know, plays in, you know, multiple games in an AHU season schedule, you know, whether or not, you know, he is consistent every night. But he definitely, I mean, just I remember watching him in college, and he reminded me of how LeBron you know, came in as a rookie, you know. Incredible vision, attempted passes that no one would ever attempt, which is always exciting to watch. And it's, you know, irrational confidence or not, it's typically a good sign for somebody regarded as an incredible passer who's almost 7 feet tall. So I'm high on him, and if they can surround him with some shooters, which they seem to have done, you know, TJ McConnell, I love TJ McConnell. I've seen several games with him, and I think he plays really hard and, you know, really scrappy. You know, that's what they say about those white point guards. Everyone calls them scrappy. Here's a question for you. Would you rather – I don't know how high are you on TJ, but, TJ McConnell is a player that I think the Pelicans would really benefit from, and – I'm not really sure what packages, you know, the Pelicans are even thinking about trades and whatnot, but odds are one of the point guards are going to get injured this year. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on whether or not, you know, TJ's just not getting a lot of minutes on that roster, whether or not you'd be interested in a Pelican swap with a player and get TJ.
Yeah, Philly's always, the past couple of years, have had some guys I wish New Orleans would try and go get with. Be it McConnell. I remember when they had Robert Covington, I was like, wow, they should go get Robert Covington. If Fultz is going to – I think it depends on if Fultz is the ball handler, if he's going to be the guy from day one, or maybe just it's going to be like the thought with what would happen in Philadelphia – or, excuse me, with Boston when Isaiah Thomas was still there. Everybody thought that Isaiah Thomas would be the point guard, but Fultz would, you know, take over eventually. So I'm wondering – if that's what ends up happening to McConnell, because McConnell is infinitely more expendable than Isaiah Thomas. The thing I have to see from Philadelphia, the reason I'm not taking that over, yeah, I like Simmons. Yeah, everybody loves Embiid, and I guess Fultz can be pretty good. But when, like, your three, like, best players, most upside players have, you know, 38 games of experience combined – You gotta prove it first.
Absolutely.
I guess benefit of the doubt is okay, but I mean, like I said, 40 and a half wins. Joel Embiid hasn't even played 40. Joel Embiid hadn't even played 40 games yet.
Yeah. 2 years. However long it's been. Ben Simmons hasn't played one game. The rookies haven't, you know, amounted to 40 games overall. But I love that they got J.J. Redick. I think he's going to swing some games for them, and hopefully he's healthy, you know, to chase people around defensively. So we're both going under, but we do acknowledge that we like the makeup of the roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to TJ. So who's next?
We have two teams left. We've got our brothers to the north. We have the Raptors with 47.5 wins. And I don't know how this Raptor team got better over the summer. It's still a good team, but what did they do to make you think, okay, this is the year that Toronto breaks through? And I don't see that acquisition. I mean, I guess you had to get Kyle Lowry back, of course. But what'd you do besides that? The CJ Miles thing, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, they lost Corey Joseph, which I feel is a big deal. They got rid of Damari Carroll, I believe, who's in Brooklyn now, and that seems to be a plus for them. But I thought Corey Joseph was somebody that just kind of helped keep the ship, sinking when Lowry went away, and he could play together with Lowry. He was a really capable defender. He just didn't really seem to make a lot of mistakes. I'm not even sure who their backup point guard is now with him gone. So I think that they lost a little bit of their depth, which is definitely concerning in an 82-game thing season. At 47.5, that's tough because they're one injury away, you know, to either Lowry or DeRozan, and, you know, to cost you several games. I think this might be the year you kind of see them tail off regular season-wise. I'm going to go slight under. I mean, I think that they might be at 47 wins. They might be at, 45, 46. I don't really see this team going to 50 this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the under. I don't think this is a deep team. Maybe 1 through 5, you can roll with that.
Solid starting lineup.
But I think they'll be like your Wizards. There's just not a lot of depth behind them. I mean, OG Anunoby, KJ McDaniels.
Well, who knows how either of them are really going to play a meaningful.
You have Valanciunas, but you drafted that Poeltl guy from Utah.
Potable Poeltl, whoever. Who knows?
I don't know how he's going to help your team. I don't know. They're kind of rooted into this forever second-tier Eastern Conference team status right now.
I think they're kind of middle of the road. I mean, I can kind of see why people are kind of assuming the Bucks might surpass them, a little bit younger, maybe a little more hungry. But I'm going on the under with Toronto. I'm just not – I'm not comfortable saying they're going to be incredible. But hey, maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe DeRozan's got an extra gear and he hasn't, he gets a 3-point shot and, it just works. Again, I mean, these teams, there's so many bad teams in the East that, the Bucks and the Raptors and the Wizards are going to play 3-4 times a year. You can kind of see how these wins kind of get up there, but I'm going under.
Yeah, I'm gonna go under too, and that brings us to our last group in the East. That Washington. Yeah, the Washington Wizards. Washington's at
to the almost bullet.
48.5 wins.
Yeah, that's high too. They lost. They had no depth. Losing Bogdanovich was big. You had a just a backup scoring guy. Mahimi, however you want to pronounce it, however it's pronounced. He was basically a non-factor the entire season last year. at $16 million a year. So that kind of frees up their cap situation. But I loved how they picked up Tim Frazier. I don't know what other options were out there, but one of the biggest things in the John Wall era was that ever since whenever he comes off the court, the pace totally changed. And we've seen Tim Frazier play the last several years, last couple years, and he really likes to push the pace. I mean, he really likes to run, and he likes to set people up, and he plays hard every time he's on the court. I think that was a really strong pickup for them. You know, the Wizards were never a team that the last several years relied on a deep bench. They kind of have their guys, and then they got Kelly Oubre, they got Jason Smith, who, you know, was fun last year. I don't know if that's going to continue. You know, Bradley had a great, healthy season last year, and John Wall wants to be the MVP. I'm going to go the over because I think Brad and John are going to be on a mission. And I'm really excited to see, you know, the Wizards are one of the only teams, you know, in that top tier of the East, I guess, excluding including the Raptors and the Bucks that have really stayed the same. But Washington proved last year that they, you know, are definitely up there with the big boys. And, you know, as Boston maybe is figuring it out at first, and Cleveland is also kind of figuring it out as Isaiah Thomas is, you know, eventually kind of thrown back in the lineup, and Derrick Rose and Wade are kind of getting to know each other. I could see this Wizards team really coming out to a strong start to the season, and I see them getting to 50 wins for the first time in, I think, ever. So I'm going to go over. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm going to go the over. I was going to defer to you about this Wizards team anyway because you follow them more closely than I do. I agree about, especially in like the November, December, January months, Washington maybe getting off to a quicker start than Cleveland and Boston do. I don't know if that'll sustain all the way through April and into the postseason. I wonder, is this the year Washington, you know, makes round three or even beyond? Who would you think they would rather have in a second round? Would they rather play Boston or would they rather play Cleveland in the second round?
Who
would you like their chances? I think so too.
They wanted Cleveland so badly last year. They match up. I mean, John Wall and Bradley Beal are basically unguardable to any of the current guards on the Cavs. And I'm more scared of Marcus Smart than I am of any of the two guards on Cleveland. Yeah, I think Bradley last in the playoffs was out of his mind. It was great to see. But again, they're you know, I'm talking about, you know, people kind of assuming players are just going to keep getting better and better and better. I actually genuinely believe that Bradley Beal and John Wall are going to be getting, you know, more and more efficient. You know, John Wall is obviously going to have to adapt his game as he gets older. But for this season, I really genuinely see them as, you know, I mean, they've been together for so long, and they, whatever drama there was is gone, and everyone's happy and lovey-dovey, and they want, you know, they want to get a third star for their team. And I could see the Wizards as a desperate trade team at the deadline. Somebody, there's a disgruntled star somewhere. Maybe if Memphis puts Marc Gasol on the market, then they just swing for the fences and try to grab him. You know, shout out to Gortat, but, you know, I think that Washington's got to be interested in adding a big body that can make a difference on both ends of the floor sooner than later. All this DeMarcus Cousins talk is silly. That's not, I think he's, Pelicans aren't really going to consider trading him, but even if it's doomsday for them, I'm not entirely sure that they are going to want to get rid of them and start over again. I don't know. I love John and Brad. Otto was solid for them last season. Great shooting. He's got to replicate that again. Markeith and his brother just settled that really strange lawsuit where I'm not entirely sure I understand the facts on that one. I don't love the Jody Meek signing. I thought that was a little underwhelming. There were a lot of different guards I thought that they could have done that would have, you know, made more of a difference. But, you know, I'd like to be standing corrected on that one. But I like this team, and, you know, John Wall and Brad are my guys, so I'm riding with them. I'm going over.
Yeah, I just
confident.
I feel like Washington and Toronto are kind of in the same boat. They're good teams, but I just don't know how either of them made themselves better this summer. I like the Tim Frazier thing, but is Tim Frazier enough of a difference maker to get Washington into round three? I don't know. And as good as Washington is, like, I'm looking at this roster, there's a lot of guys, like, I don't even know who these people are, like, bench-wise, and it's a bad bench.
It's not deep at all by any means. It's concerning.
I keep looking at these guys. Like, I haven't heard of, like, any of these guys. Like, Saturnowski, Mike Young, Mike Scott,
Saturansky.
Sorry. Bless you. Sheldon McClellan. Like, who are these guys?
The Bullets Forever people will back me up. There's some talent there, but a lot of question marks. You know, Saturansky was a Euro player that they got, who had a lot of hype coming in, and he's taller, and he could see the floor pretty well, but he was extremely inconsistent. You know, so they're kind of banking on him to be, you know, to kind of get it under control and to be a difference maker. But yeah, it is pretty underwhelming. You know, I mean, they were a team that I was surprised, you know, Tony Allen's on the market, you know, somebody, you know, the Pelicans kind of snaggy and Clark and such. Those are players that the Wizards you would assume would have in the bag to be able to get them as backup shooters and wing players. I was a little underwhelmed with the GM the last two off seasons. The Hemi contract. He better just play meaningful minutes this year. That might be one of the worst contracts they signed. They got rid of Nicholson's contract, which was atrocious. But yeah, you know, I really think John and Bradley Beal aren't done getting better, and I think that in itself is how they got better. Whereas Toronto, I'm not really sure how much better Lowry and DeRozan could be. So I'm excited to see it. That's all I gotta say. So I'm going over. You're going over, but you're a little hesitant, or
just a slide over. I don't know.
All right, I feel that. Well, I am. I guess we just finished up. Well, we can recap our picks if we want. I'm currently driving through a what I think is a tropical storm, but very unclear, on my way down to New Orleans. So excited to get back to the city.
Yeah. So we like Boston. We think Brooklyn can be okay. We think Atlanta's terrible. Charlotte's a little funky. We think Chicago might be the worst team in basketball. Cleveland might be kind of off to a slow start, but, you know, they get benefit of the doubt. Detroit's boring as hell. Who cares? Indiana, not as bad as it could be. Miami could be pretty good. Milwaukee, we like. The Knicks, bad but entertaining, but not sad enough. Orlando, incredibly sad. Philadelphia, we got to see it to believe it. And Toronto and Washington, good, but how much better did they get?
That was the best summary of this pod. You know, we should put a warning in the beginning of this pod for people just to sim to that part, and then they'll get the entire gist of this podcast.
Yeah, that was excellent. And there's like an 80% chance this never actually gets published anyway, because I don't know what I'm doing with this producing stuff. So this just might be a conversation that only you and I can attest by.
Preston, come back. We're burning the house down.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I guess you and I like this. This was fun. We're kind of like the Lennon and McCartney of our site. In that you'll keep making just top-notch content well into your life, and I'll probably be dead by 40.
I'm excited to get back to it. That's for sure.
Yeah, basketball, the season's back in 10 days. Well, the Pelican season's back in 10 days. Regular basketball starts that Tuesday the 17th. So It's on its way, Johnny. Can you feel it in your loins? It's coming.
Oh, I can feel it all right. I can smell Smoothie King Center's cement from here. It's potent, let me tell you. The potent smell of nostalgia and basketball. I am excited. No, I really am. This Pelican season is extremely intriguing. I know that every blogger has been really tweeting a lot this summer and excitement, so I'm assuming everyone else is excited. Do you feel it in your bones? Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. While we were talking, we had a bit of breaking news. We're going to break news on this podcast.
Big time.
Rondo is going to be out for about a month.
Oh, great.
So, Rondo,
hey, that's that's part of the hazing process, the initiation process when he signed the Pelicans. So he's getting it over with quickly. So might as well. So who do you think is the other starting guard come opening night?
Is it Tony Allen?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Tony Allen. So you'd have Drew, Tony Allen. We're going to assume Cunningham. And obviously Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins as your day one starters, possibly. They play the Grizzlies the first game of the season, so if Tony Allen is starting, maybe he'll be hyped for that.
Tony Allen revenge game.
Tony Allen revenge game. You heard it here first, folks. Very exciting. Unfortunate for Rondo. Hopefully he bounces back quickly.
Yeah, I hope so too. But we're running a little long. I guess it's about time we wrap this up. Thanks again to Preston for giving us the keys to the podcast. Congrats again. He got married. Congrats, Preston. Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Preston. Good job. You're making us all proud.
Yeah. You made me proud. Very happy for you. Very excited for you.
How does he end the podcast? Does he have a sign off that you want to personate?
This is Preston Ellis. Make sure to hit subscribe and rate us and download us and go Pelicans. How was that?
Nice. That was actually better than mine. Shout out to Preston. We'll be back on the pod someday. All right, Jenda, great talking to you.
Yeah, buddy. We'll talk again soon.
That's it for now, Pelicans fans. Again, if you like what you're hearing, you know the drill. Retweet, share, rate. And as always, you can get all the latest news on your Pels at thebirdwrites.com. But for now, let's get excited, people. Basketball's back. Let's go, Pels.